the kind words and the invitation to be with you this morning. We're going to laugh this morning, and it doesn't matter whether you laugh in the right places or not. I'm not offended in any event. But as we go along this faith journey, all of us together, different ages, different colors of hair and all of that, I gave up a good while ago in buying anything new unless it matched gray hair and liver spots. And I have put on my makeup in a very dim light with a small mirror. And I feel better about myself when I do that. I was talking with some friends, and we were talking about age. And I said, well, I'll be 70 in April. And then I stopped, and I was shocked. I didn't know I was going to be 70 in April. I hadn't even said it out loud before. And so as I go along this, well, you'll keep in mind that if I do repeat myself, I will be 70 in April. So I want to tell you this morning a few things that have happened along the way and some things that I have gathered. If you don't have you a little folder that has funny things in it that you find in the newspaper or in the Reader's Digest or just that your children say or your grandchildren, and clip these out and make you a memory folder. And then on gray days or glum days, or if you have a case of the gloomies, go back into there and go through them again. I have one that I have had for years, and I found it in the Parade magazine years ago, and it was a quote from Lillian Carter. And she said, sometimes when I look at all my children, I say to myself, Lillian, you should have stayed a virgin. You can see it's yellowed with age. And I think that probably there are aspects of our life that we have not felt very joyful. But one of the most marvelous things about being a Christian is that we can be joyful because we know how it all comes out in the end. One of my favorite things is from a book that Catherine Marshall wrote for children. And it was about a little girl and her grandfather that were riding in a sunny afternoon out in the country. And they looked out and they saw this mule out in the field. And the little girl said, Grandpa, is that mule a Christian? He said, well, honey, I don't know. Why do you ask? Well, she said, he must be a Christian. He has such a long face. So let's dispense with the long faces. In 1992, my daughter, Marcy, and her daughter and I were going to Kentucky. And we had spent the night in Little Rock with my nephew. The next morning, we stopped to get gas, and Marcy went in to pay for it. She came back out, and she was laughing so hard. And she said, get a pencil and write this down. When she paid for the gas, there were two women talking in the station, and one of them was saying to the other one, I am sick and tired of you ragging me about Bill Clinton. I heard on the radio just yesterday that he had done more in his first 100 days than any president since George Roosevelt. So those are the things that make our life complete. I think the little fun, and so often they're not contrived at all. They're true statements. And so I preached in Henderson in November, and everything went wonderfully well. I was feeling really good because my daughter and son-in-law are members of, in that church, and I felt that I had not disgraced them in any way. And so I was standing there ready to lead the Lord's Prayer with my head bowed, and I stood there, and I stood there, and I stood there. Finally, it came to me that the Lord's Prayer starts with "Our Father, who art in heaven." I was so embarrassed. And the lady that was the lay reader told me before I had a chance to tell her what I had done, she said, "That was so effective." So you see, you don't ever know. But I'll tell you, I told them, they did ask me back, and I did preach again. And I had told them about this, and they will never say the Lord's Prayer with having a little tug of a smile on their face. And also, in 1973, I lost 175 pounds. I divorced my husband. And I have always said, he's my dear departed. He's not dead. He just departed. And it is true that opposites do attract. He loved to chase women, and I didn't. But anyway, he lives in the same town. We share the same children, and life is wonderful. My life has been wonderfully good. And it has given me opportunity to be with people like you, to enjoy being with you and having the freedom to be with you. So there are times when divorce is not bad. So I've already told you to stick little notes to yourself in your little memory box and in your little laughter folder. You might want to put down the day the lilacs bloom, or the day you see the first robin, or when that very first little bluebird comes to this dear little house that you have made, the joys that you do find in nature. I told them that the table that I had cancer 6 years ago, I have always loved things. I have always been conscious of blooming things, of flowers and shrubs, and enjoy the seasons very much. But when you go through something like that, it gives you a more acute time to notice things. The colors are brighter, the breeze is fresher, the flowers smell sweeter. But a lot of that comes from how you cope with your day-to-day things. You know, it's not the boulders in the road that upset you, it's that little piece of gravel in your shoe that wears away and wears away, until our outlook is diminished somewhat. So as we laugh together this morning, I hope you will think of some of the things that maybe you've never told on yourself. You know, they say that one good laugh is worth 3 tablespoons of oat bran. And it is. And another little thought is, if you eat a live toad in the morning, nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day. And since we've already eaten, we're cautioned to eat dessert first because life is uncertain. And but you know, we have times of replenishment. We have times of joy and of laughter. And you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. And if you laugh when you grow older, all your wrinkles will be in the right places. And that's good to know. I'd like to read you this. And it reminds me probably of myself, and especially of my brother. "Lord, thou knowest me better than I know myself, that I'm growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from getting talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject at every occasion. Release me from craving to try and to straighten out everybody's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details and give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others. Help me to endure them with patience, but seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is increasing as the years go by. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it is possible that I might be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I don't want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with. But a sour old woman or man is one of the crowning works of the devil. Make me thoughtful, but not moody, helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. And that, after all, a few friends at the end is a wonderful thing, that if we've spent a reasonable amount of time on keeping these friendships new and wonderful, nurturing them along, we can find great joy in friendship. Work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us. So in that, we do find our joy. Humor has been noted by doctors and analysts and all type of things as being extremely medicinal. We also know it's biblical, because laughter does do good like a medicine. And it does. If we laugh, it releases endorphins into our system that are to our great good. Laughter is very important, and any day that has been spent without a really good laugh is a wasted day. Need to remember that, because it's very, very true. Several years ago, we were going to the, well, it's been 3 years, because we're having another one this year at Austin College, but this Synod gathering was in Tulsa. So I had made arrangements to pick up my friend Carol Dwinell in Athens, which is 30 miles or so from Palestine. So I got up at 4:30, no, it was at 4, and I got my goods together, got my clothes on, got in the car, picked up Carol in Athens, and we're going down Highway 19, and we stop in Paris, Texas for breakfast. So we go in the door of the restaurant, and this nice, attentive woman comes around, and she looked at me, and she says, "Honey, your slip shows." And she's patting my dress and tugging on it, and I said, "Well, thank you very much. I'm going in the restroom, so I'll tend to it." So I went in the restroom, and I looked in the mirror, and sure enough, my slip did show. And I looked again, and I had my dress on back then. I am not a morning person. So I didn't look. I think everything's all right for today. But the best laughs, really, that we get are on ourselves when we have done something outlandish, outrageous, unbelievably stupid. But it, you know, like I say, laugh at yourself first before somebody else gets a chance to. And we don't laugh at people. We laugh with people. And that makes such a difference in how we feel and how we set our sights on our life, is to be able to really enjoy each other in joyful fellowship. What makes you laugh? If you think about Job, he had all the trials in the world, and yet Job laughed. If you think about God's sense of humor, and all we have to do is look around and we see that God does have a sense of humor. Read Jonah. Now, Jonah is fun to read because Jonah is like we are. God tells us what to do, but we're off somewhere else on our own agenda, and we don't do what God tells us to always do. We do not do what he wants us to do. But here's Jonah, and God says, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh, and you're going to preach to those people. And Jonah's saying, no way am I going to Nineveh. But God persists. So Jonah goes out in the backyard, and he digs up his tomato can with his money in it, and he goes down and he buys a ticket. Did he buy a ticket to Nineveh? No. He decided he would go to somewhere else. But God still persisted. So Jonah is on the ship, and he has his encounter with the whale. The whale was bigger than Jonah, but he was spewed out. And he went to Nineveh, and he preached to the Ninevites. And what did they do? They all repented. Made Jonah furious. He thought, and he already knew this, that if he goes down there, that God loves those people enough that he will forgive them. My time will be all wasted. So Jonah's sitting on the side of a hill, sulking, hotter than the hinges. Well, God sends this little vine, and it goes up above Jonah's head just a little bit to give him a little shade. And he's sitting there just fuming, so angry, because God has forgiven these people, and Jonah wanted them zapped. And that's very Christian. That is very Christian. But we do see humor in Scripture. I think God has a sense of humor. I think he's given us a sense of humor, but I think also it's something, much like your garden, you have to cultivate it. You have to be able to see humor in situations. Otherwise, how do we keep our sanity? Another little item, brain cells come and brain cells go, but fat cells live forever. My sister and I grew up in Fort Griffin, Texas, on the Clear Fork of the Brazos River. I will not ask for a show of hands and how many people know where Fort Griffin, Texas is. But it was a very close community. And we had neighbors that lived about a half a mile from us, I guess, or three quarters. And their name was Cox. And Lottie was older than I was, but I always loved her. She was a buxom lady. She had a face as big as the moon and a heart as big as Texas. She outlived three husbands who all died of natural causes. And she died recently in her 90s. And Lottie used to say, I may be dumb, but when I know something, I know it just as good as a smart person. She was a very special lady and a good part of my life. God doesn't hear enough laughter from us. We're made in his image, and we're bought by the shed blood of God's Son, Jesus. And we are saved by God's grace, and we are free from sin. So as you smile your biggest smile to your neighbor, and you might put this into action in the morning or the rest of the day if you would like to practice for tomorrow, but you let laughter flow over you like living water. Do you know someone that has an infectious laugh? Someone that you just hear them and you automatically, your heart lifts, you get a smile on your face. We took a trip with the garden club. This was last year. And the man that drove the bus was this marvelous black man that was huge. He was past obese. He was huge. But when he laughed, It went from the gas pedal right up through his body and came forth in such a sound you've never heard. It was just glorious. And he laughed a lot. He got really a big kick out of being with all these crazy women on this bus. But he was a marvelous man, and I often wonder if he knows how much people appreciated his good humor and his wonderful ability to raise you up and just make you feel that this is a glorious day and truly a day that the Lord has made. Laughter is a gift. Don't put it away in a drawer like a robe that you would only bring out for a trip to the hospital, or like your fine china that you put up on the top shelf and only use for very special occasions. God gave us this gift. He gave us the gift of laughter to use it. He gave us the gift of joyousness to experience it. And we're to relish it and to revel in it, because it is of God to you, you very special child of God. So, laughter is not an acquired taste. It's a basic necessity. Light, love, and laughter are poured upon you in abundance. Pain has a place in a Christian journey, because that's how we learn and how we grow and how we rely on God for grace and strength. No Christian expects to go through life without pain. And yet very often it's through our laughter that we are able to stand our pain. There was a cartoon, and this doctor was in the emergency room, and he was sitting on the desk, and he had the telephone, and he said, Miss Smith, your son has been in an accident. He's going to be just fine, but I would like to speak to you about his underwear. Oh, you've heard it, haven't you? But Jesus is no longer in the tomb, and as we celebrate this season, and we realize that we have been freed to joy. We're empowered by the Spirit. We're able to laugh at ourselves and with others as we are secure in the knowledge and love of God. We belong. We're a part of His kingdom. I'd like to read you this, and I'm sure you've heard it or read it. It's been in many things. But listen to this, and if you see yourself, if you're a young person, you better get started right away. But if you're an older person, you better hurry. It was written by an 85-year-old man, and he said, if I had my life to live over, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. I wouldn't be so perfect. I would relax more. I'd look limber up, and I'd be sillier than I've been on this trip. I know very few things that I would take so seriously. I'd be crazier and less hygienic. I'd take more chances. I'd take more trips. I'd climb more mountains. I'd swim more rivers. I'd go to more places than I'd never been to, and I'd eat more ice cream and fewer beans. I'd have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. You see, I was one of those people who live prophylactically and sensibly and sanely, hour after hour, day after day. Well, I've had my moments, and if I had them to do over again, I'd have more of those moments, moment by moment by moment. I've been one of those people who never went anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a gargle, a raincoat, and a parachute. If I had to do it over all again, I'd travel lighter next time. If I had it to do over again, I'd start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay way later in the fall. I'd ride more merry-go-rounds, I'd watch more sunrises, and I'd play more with children if I had my life to live over again. But you see, I don't. So we need to make those days so special of our lives. Spend them. My ex-husband used to tell me that that I did the things I wanted to do before the things that I should. And he was right. You know, if you always only do the things that you should do and are supposed to do and have committed yourself to do, you don't have any time left over to play with the kids, to make cookies that are as gray as the dirt, or to do the things that gives your life joy. I loved my children. I had four. We had the best times together. Sometimes it was walking in the leaves in the fall. Sometimes it was going swimming. Sometimes it was just being together, cooking together and making messes and all of that. But that's part of your life, and it's part of your joy, and it's part of your memory. And I hope in your memories you have a lot more of those joyful times than you have of the times that were very difficult and very challenging. God gives us the tools to do the jobs that he calls us to do. I think this is very true. Sometimes we have our fists so clenched and so tight that he can't hand us these tools. But if we open ourselves to him, our hearts and our ears and our will, then he restores us with such joy. This little book that I have is one of my, I think I've said this three times, favorite things. I have a lot of favorite things. But this little book is by Richard Bimler, and he says angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. Marvelous little book. Marvelous little book. He says that life is too serious to be taken seriously. The resurrection is the focus of our joy and celebration. Laugh at yourself first before anyone else can. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. Laughter is God's hand on the shoulder of a troubled world. Isn't that good? Holy laughter is a gift of grace. It's the human spirit's last defense against sin and despair. Laughter is a blunt, brilliant, brave affirmation that death is not the final answer. Holy mirth is keeping sight of Christ's final victory over death. The in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 12th and the 13th verses, they will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. You know why I like that. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. So this is a promise from the Old Testament that came through as a promise fulfilled when we look into the life of Jesus Christ. Because God loved us so much and gave us such an opportunity to live a life of joyousness for him, why wouldn't we be joyful? Why wouldn't we have laughter in our soul? Why wouldn't we want to share this laughter with each other? The world is full of grief and sorrow, but there's also a joyousness there. I'm not talking about happiness. I don't have much regard for happiness because it's usually you're dependent on something or somebody to bring you happiness. I'm talking about joy that is given to us by God, that is so deep within us that it cannot be snatched from us, no matter what challenge we're called on to face. But I would ask you to, when you see each other, put a nice big smile on your face. And when you get up in the morning and you go and you look in the mirror, and once the shock is passed, you that the last bit of makeup that you put on is a nice smile. Because that face that you see in the morning is the one that everybody else sees all day. And that is where the reflection of our soul is in a joyful countenance. And if I could give you one bit of advice, if you only have one garment in your luggage of life, let it be a loose, flowing robe of laughter. Thank you very much.